Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, brought to you by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find your momentum. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers right here. We are live streaming on blogtalkradio.com as well as on our private and our public Facebook pages. Look for us at Momentum Fitness and Health. And you can listen live or archived anytime right here on Blog Talk Radio or scroll through our feed to find our weekly radio blog. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. Now, last week, we covered one step, one aspect to better health that's often overlooked or not even considered at all. So this week, I want to cover 12 aspects of life that lead to better health. And today is a special time, Thursday at 1:30 Central Time, not our normal time. We have our holiday party tonight at Momentum Fitness and Health, and we meetings and stuff tomorrow, so we had to do it today. Now, today I'm going to discuss a few different things, 12 different things, kind of goes with the theme of the season, right? 12 days of Christmas, 12 aspects of life to lead to better health. Well, the first one I'm demonstrating for you right now, and that is to drink more water. We need to drink more water. Our bodies are made up mostly of water. Our brain, our heart, our lungs, all of it. It contains mostly water. A very large majority of those organs are water. So our body needs it in order to function properly. And children need it even more, especially infants, as their body water percentage is even higher. So we need to be drinking more water every day. Now, we probably all know that, that we need to be drinking more water. We've heard it time and time again. You know, it would be great to replace, you know, especially our sugary beverages and stuff like that, and it's zero calories, and it can actually fill you up. Sometimes when you're hungry, you're actually thirsty. So the next time you're craving something you just ate, but yet you still feel hungry, try drinking some water to see if that takes care of the issue for you. But just how much water do we need? Well, it's not the same for everybody. We've always heard 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. Well, it's not entirely true. It just, what you want to do is you want to take your body weight. So, for example, I'm about 160 pounds, maybe a little more than that right now. It's the holidays, but I usually come in about 160 pounds. I should consume 80 ounces of water per day. So you take your weight in pounds, divide it in half, and don't convert, but drop the pound sign and make it an ounce sign instead. So someone who's 200 pounds should have 100 ounces of water per day. And it's not all from drinking. You're going to get about a third of your water, maybe even a little bit more, from foods that you eat, especially if you follow some of these 12 steps and some of the foods that you should incorporate into your diet right now. So what else is on this list? And this list that I'm going from, it's from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. It's where I graduated from. It's where I'm board certified through. So that's where I'm getting these 12 steps. And these are all things that if you've listened to my radio show before, I've talked about. I've just broken them out into longer shows, giving you the short version of it today. Practice cooking. We just went over this not too long ago. There's a direct correlation with how much you cook at home and your waistline. So if you're cooking at home more often, chances are you're using more fresh ingredients, more real ingredients, not necessarily, but most likely, and you're able to control your portion sizes a lot better. When you're going to restaurants now, your portion sizes compared to 25 years ago are double, almost triple in some cases. So if you're cooking at home, you can control the amount of oil, which we know oil is basically fat and then has higher calories. Not villainizing fat here. There are good fats and bad fats, but you still, even with fats, want to keep it, you know, within a certain range. So you can control what goes into your food, and you can make healthier decisions by cooking at home. One of those decisions should be to increase more whole grains and reduce processed grains. This is number three on our list of 12 aspects, or 12 steps to better health. Increase your whole grains. So we're talking brown rice, kamut, quinoa, those types of things. Even whole wheat, you know, whole wheat berries are going to be a better whole grain than a processed whole grain. Why? Because your processed whole grains are devoid of fiber. What they do is when they make flour, they take wheat, which is can be healthy unless you have a sensitivity or an allergy, but take wheat, which is something that, again, can be healthy, and they process it down and leave you with just the starch, removing the fiber and the germ, which is where the nutrients are, and then the fiber to keep you fuller longer. But the calorie content stays the same. So that's the trick with your whole grains versus your processed grains. And that means your cereals and all that stuff too. So if you think you're feeding your kids better with by giving them Cheerios or Frosted Flakes, nope. That's all ground down and processed. Increase sweet vegetables. There are a lot of sweet vegetables out there. Carrots, even onions are a little bit sweet, right? But increasing these sweet vegetables will sometimes cure a little bit or curb your cravings for sugar because they are sweeter. So when you're craving something sugary, reach for a carrot because it does have a little bit of an extra sugar content. You can even do that with fruits as well. So increase your sweet vegetables. It's going to help reduce, you know, maybe the chance of eating cookies and candy and stuff like that. So you also, along with your sweet vegetables, step number five, is you want to increase your green leafy vegetables. Yes, you have to eat them. Sorry, if you didn't like them as a kid, you're not alone. I didn't like them either. I'm lucky with my daughter, and my daughter loves them. I have to keep the fridge full of broccoli, and yesterday she even ate kale chips. Couldn't believe that. But yes, you want to increase your leafy green vegetables. You're going to get a nice boost of calcium, a more bioavailable calcium, as well as lots of other minerals and nutrients from these leafy greens, and even protein from broccoli. You're going to get protein from broccoli. But the most important thing about greens is it promotes digestive health. These leafy greens are going to help clear the stuff out of your colon, and help if you have issues with leaky gut and maybe even IBS. It's going to help with a lot of those things, mainly because of the fiber content and water content as well. It's going to help you push that stuff out. So, yes, increase your leafy greens. We know this. We know we need to do these things. So how do we do them? You can even throw kale and stuff like that into soups and stews. Actually, if you check us out next week, we're going to have a recipe for a white chili that has kale and quinoa in it. So you're going to get your whole grains in there, and you're also going to get some of your greens. So eat those greens, eat those greens, eat those greens. Eat a salad a day if you can. It doesn't have to be a green smoothie, but one thing that I've had clients do with green smoothie ingredients is make a salad out of them. So if you like salad, eat a salad. You know, and then step six, halfway there, is experiment with protein. Different things work for different people. Those that know me know that I don't consume animal protein, and that works for me. I'm not gonna judge you for it. I'm not gonna say you have to do it this way. I do recommend that people do eat at least less animal protein for a few reasons. One of them being environmental. If you get down to the nitty-gritty on what it takes to raise a pound of beef, the resources that it takes, and some of the other environmental reasons. But experiment with proteins. Even those that are 100% vegan that really kind of drive that home. I actually heard Colin Campbell in a documentary say how sometimes it's not 100% feasible to go completely vegan. So if you slip up every now and then, or if it's only really maybe 10% of your calories, you're gonna be in better shape. But again, experiment with those proteins. Sometimes it can come down to blood type, you know, and not everything works for everybody. And sometimes it's situational too, and socioeconomic as well. So experiment with your different proteins. Experiment with fish. Experiment with things like tofu, organic non-GMO tofu, of course, and whole organic non-GMO soybeans and stuff like that. Experiment with your different proteins. There's a lot out there, and find out which ones work for you. Eat fewer processed foods. Yeah, I would say that's probably the number one thing that it's going to contribute to better health. Is eating fewer processed foods. There are so many additives between highly processed sugar and chemicalized sweeteners and chemicalized colorings and flavorings and everything. I mean, there's coal tar in a lot of your food dyes. You've heard me say this before if you've listened to me before, but when I worked at UPS, I had some food dyes come through my dock. And when I checked the label for hazardous materials, it was food dyes. So your food dyes ship as hazardous materials. So eat fewer processed foods. Eat food the way it's meant to be, the way nature made it. Everything is there for a reason. Those nutrients are intact for a reason. You know, try and get away from that processed sugar. It's amazing when you break it down how much sugar we consume a year. The average person is 150 pounds of sugar in a year. There's a TED Talk by Jamie Oliver. Watch that if you've got kids, and if your kids are in the school milk program and they're getting the flavored milk just to get them to drink milk. How much sugar they take in just one school year is astounding. So eat fewer processed foods. Eat real food. You know, the only thing that we sell at our studio are these minimally processed, no additive bars that we are pairing with wine tonight. So again, eat fewer processed foods and stay away from that fat-free stuff. The fat-free stuff is full of chemicals and sugar. So, you know, if you take the fat out of things, it takes the flavor out of things, so they got to enhance it with sugar and artificial flavors. Stay away from that stuff. That's what truly slows our metabolism down, are all these chemicals and garbage food that we're putting into our body. Not just as we age, oh, my metabolism slowed down. Now, it's because we've been poisoning our bodies for years. And speaking of your body, step number 8 is make a habit of nurturing your body. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, you know, take a break. Get massages every now and then. If your insurance covers it, get a massage. Use your insurance for that because it's going to help you in the long run. My insurance is great, and I'm able to get a massage. But if you can get a massage at least once a month, or just even whenever, just get out there and get it. Really, really nurture your body. If you can't get to a massage, if you don't have time for it, even taking 5 or 10 minutes with a hot towel, a hot, wet towel, and just scrubbing your body down. And just kind of massaging even yourself with this warm towel to loosen up those muscles, get rid of some of that dead skin, you know, exfoliate, feel a bit fresher, open up those pores. That's how our body gets rid of toxins, is by opening up our pores. So make sure you're taking care of your body. You know, and you have to be in the right mental mind frame to want to take care of your body. We always say, oh, if I get the perfect body, then my mind will be right. But if you get your mind right first, and then start to view your body as a beautiful thing, as a temple in your mind, it's going to follow. You got to get the mind right. You have to get the mental mindset first to take care of that body, to get that body where you want it. Number 9, healthy relationships. Engage in healthy relationships. There is nothing more toxic to your health than constantly being stressed out in a relationship, and we've all had them, I'm sure. I know I had mine, but I'm in a completely different situation now. But have healthy relationships. when you have healthy relationships with people, you're going to connect with other people, and feeling more connected is going to make you want to do healthier things for your body. It's going to make you want to maybe eat fewer processed foods and eat more vegetables and go out and exercise, which is our next thing. You know, so have these healthy relationships. Think about a time when you were a child and you were outside playing and your mom or your dad came out and said, okay, it's time for dinner. It didn't matter what dinner was. You probably said, no, I want to keep playing. I see this with my almost 3-year-old daughter. When she's playing and having a good time, food is not at all on her mind. There are days where she's having such a good time, she doesn't eat a lot during the day, and only at night when she's winding down does she eat. But when we are engaged in healthy, active relationships, we don't crave food as much. We are filling, we're filling voids with joy instead of filling it with food. And we've always talked about the psychological aspect of eating. And it's that a lot of times that when we go to eat or go for that junk food, that garbage food, that processed food, it's because we're going back in a time in our minds when we were happy, and that's usually at a party or something like that, and parties always had a lot of junk food. So that's why our minds, when we're upset about things or are not experiencing joy, we go back and we go for those junk foods. Number 10, we're almost there. Three more to go. Number 10, enjoy regular physical activity. Yes, yes, and yes. Exercise. Walk. I don't care what you do. I would love it if you came and did workouts with us and did circuit style workouts and functional workouts and everything that we do and cardio box. I would love it if you came and saw us. I would. But what we do isn't for everybody. You have to find physical activity. You have to find exercise that you enjoy. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to stick with it. And if you view exercise and physical activity as a chore, you're definitely not going to stick with it. So you have to enjoy what it is you do. I'm one of those weird people that enjoys running, and I enjoy running long distances, so it's what I do. I enjoy biking long distances, and for some reason, I enjoy swimming 1.2 miles and eventually 2.4. That's what I like to do, and it works for me. If you like Zumba, do it. If you like yoga, do it. But do something, some sort of physical activity that you love to do, and stick with it. It's going to increase your heart health. I'm going to tell you, most exercise, unless you're doing endurance stuff, isn't going to help you lose weight. It's the nutrition portion that's going to help you lose the weight. But the exercise is going to make you stronger, it's going to make you more flexible, and it's going to strengthen your heart and help you live longer. It's going to lower your resting heart rate, which is what you want. You want to lower resting heart rate. You know, case in point with some of this physical activity is a client of mine who had a shoulder issue, and they were being told, go for surgery. The orthopedic surgeons orthopod docs are always going to go, surgery. Like, I really don't want to have shoulder surgery because it's kind of a crapshoot whether you're going to come back full strength. So through doing the right physical activity, the right exercises, the right stretches, we were able to help her in a way that where she can lift her granddaughter now. This is my mom I'm actually talking about, and she's able to lift my granddaughter. My daughter's like 30 pounds, and my mom can lift her up. No shoulder pain, no problem. Can lift up over her head, no pain, nothing. So it's going to make physical activity is going to make you stronger. Here's one that stump a lot of people, and that's number 11. The last two are two of the biggest stumpers. In 12 is the one we talked about last week, but 11 is find work that you love. Do you love your job? Do you wake up every morning saying, "Yeah, let's go to work today. I can't wait to do this." Or do you wake up in the morning and go like, "Oh, do I really have to go in? Maureen's sick and sneezing all over the place. And I don't want to. Steve is, I don't know. My boss." Do you wake up that way? Or do you wake up like, "I love doing what I do"? It's not always easy to do it. to be in a situation where you can. I'm lucky in that my wife is very, very, very supportive, and that goes back to having a healthy relationship in what I do, and understanding that, yes, I love what I do. Am I making a ton of money doing it right now? No, I'm not, but it has potential, right? Finding work that you love is also going to fulfill you. And it's going back to that idea of, if you're happy, if you're experiencing joy in your life and in your work, you're going to make better decisions about your health. However, if you're more stressed out by work and not enjoying it, you're more likely to not make those good decisions about your health and about what you're eating. So find work that you love to do. And if you're not able to do it for financial reasons, like, I know some people work because they need to support their family. I get that. My father has done that, and my father worked for the same place for 30-some-odd years because he had to, because he had to support his family. So if you're not able to find it, you know, through the work that you do, find it through volunteer work. Maybe there's something along the lines of, or, you know, something along the lines of what you love to do that you can volunteer and help that out. Or even start a home business. It doesn't have to be anything big. It takes very little to start a home business these days. You know, if you're an artist, especially if you like making art, it's very easy to set up a shop on Etsy or whatever else. I don't know. I've shopped on so many different online stores this year. They're all over the place. It's easy to get started. It really is. I've done it. I've done a $0 startup, and it's taken years to get built. But now all of a sudden we are rolling. So find work that you love to do, and if you're not able to, I get it with the financial situation, find some volunteer work that will give you that same feeling, that same fulfilled feeling. And step 12 is to develop a spiritual practice. When we feel connected to something spiritually, we get that sense of joy. And if we're doing it like in a group setting, such as a church or something like that, you're going to make friends, and you're going to have this feeling of belonging, and you're going to have friends, and you're going to have healthy relationships. And that is going to help you. That's also going to help you make better decisions about your food and your exercise choices. So you want to make sure that you develop a spiritual practice, pray, meditate, whatever works for you, just like exercise. Whatever religion works for you, whatever spiritual practice works for you, as long as it's not based in chaos, do it. Do it and love it, but don't judge the spiritual practices of others. That's the one caveat to developing a spiritual practice. No religion, no one diet plan, no one exit plan is better than any other for everybody. Different things work for different people. In spirituality, in physical fitness, and in nutrition, there's no one blanket program plan that's going to work for everybody. So keep that in mind when you're developing a spiritual practice. Love it, honor it, but also respect the religions of others. There are very few religions that are based in chaos, you know, where it says that we need to go out and hate one another. Most religions say, hey, don't be a jerk, and give thanks when thanks is needed. So those are your 12 steps to better health. If you need help with these 12 steps to better health, I'm not saying you need to do them all right now. You don't need to do all 12 steps today. You definitely can. But it's great to incorporate one step at a time. And a lot of that is what we do when it comes to health coaching, is we add one thing in at a time. We just did a 90-day challenge where there were 13 weeks. And each week, we added one nutritional challenge and one physical challenge. And the person that, you know, has done everything and has kept up and added on and added on and added on, like kept the week before, is doing the best and is probably going to sweep both categories. So remember, drink more water is step number one. Practice cooking at home. It's a lost art form. And even if you can't cook at home, there are companies like Mies Meals. You want to know more about Mies Meals? They prep all the food and send it to you, and they reduce your kitchen time by like an hour per meal. Increase whole grains. Decrease processed grains, such as pasta and white rice and breads and flour. Increase your sweet vegetables. Get a little bit of sweetness, but get it from a vegetable. You're going to get a lot more nutrients than you're going to get from a Reese's peanut butter cup. Increase your leafy greens. It's going to help with that digestive health and your overall sense of well-being, and your energy is going to be more light, more flexible. You're going to get sick less as well. Experiment with your proteins. Remember, no one nutrition plan works equally for everybody, so you have to find which one works for you. I do encourage eating less animal protein if you can't, if you can't give it up at all. But it's what works for you, right? Eat fewer processed foods. If you can, eat no processed foods. Again, it's not an easy thing. You give up sugar cold turkey, it's like giving up smoking cold turkey. You're probably going to turn around and punch somebody in the mouth for something small. Make a healthy habit of nurturing your body. Make a habit of nurturing your body. Take care of it. Take care of your skin. Do that hot towel scrub. That's something that takes 5-10 minutes. Tell your family, hey, this is my 10 minutes. I'm going in the bathroom with a towel and some hot water, and I need you to leave me alone for a while. Okay? That needs to happen. Have healthy relationships. If you are in a toxic relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, ditch it. Ditch it. Get out of it. Don't stay in it. Don't stay in it too long, because it's only going to continue to drag you down. Enjoy regular physical activity. What works for you may not be right for some. So whatever works for you, do it. But if you're going to do something high intensity, make sure you ease into it. Zumba is great. I love it, but there's a lot of twisting. If you haven't exercised in 5 years, you want to ease into it. Find work that you love, and if you can't find joy in the job that you're doing and you can't get out of the job that you are doing, find charity work that you can do. Find volunteer work that you can do. And last but not least, especially this time of the year, it all makes sense, is develop a spiritual practice. Feel connected to something, even if it's a deep meditation where you're really feeling connected to yourself. We are all beings of earth. We're all made from earth, so by connecting to ourselves, we are therefore connecting to a higher power, right? All right, so there's your 12 steps. Take these 12 steps, and then join me next Friday, back at our normal time at probably 11 o'clock, somewhere around there, as I talk about how to set goals, set your intentions for the next year, and how to keep them. We'll talk about the numbers on resolutions. Resolutions don't tend to stay, but we'll talk about the best ways to nail those, to set those resolutions, set those goals for 2017, and how to stick with them. So until next time, I hope that you can find your momentum. That's all.